today we're going to be talking about technology, which is kind of a, it's going to sound a little different in the context of the series that we've been in. We're calling What's First. And but we're going to be actually looking at technology and how often technology can get in the way of sometimes even the way in which we see God and the way in which we kind of keep him first in our life, quite honestly. And so today I'm really excited about the practicalness of this message kind of that we're actually going to be engaging with. I want to read to you kind of the text that we're going to be camped out around this morning from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. This is what it says. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and therefore confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the people, or of all the earth, I'm sorry. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. And that's going to be our text that we're going to kind of focus our attention on this morning. We are in our third week of our series that we're calling What's First? And what we're doing is we're essentially asking the question, what's first in our lives? And so I hope you're doing some reflecting on this because for some of us, it's maybe going to be a little different. There's going to be different things that we struggle with. But ultimately, right, there's no secret about this. Ultimately, this sermon series is going to a place, and it really started off in the place, where God says, I want to be first in your life. I want to be the one who you get all of your value, your identity, where you find your worth. I want to be that place where you find ultimate meaning in life. I want to be first. And we looked at the first week how God basically roots his command to us to be first in our lives. He roots it in his deep love for us, doesn't he? He roots it in his understanding that this is good for us. This isn't Sean Connery God, right? If you weren't here, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But this is not angry, ticked off God. This is God who loves us and cares about us and says, I want to be first in your life. Last week, we talked about how the self can oftentimes kind of emerge as that which is first in our lives. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and keep following me. And we looked at how important that really is. That our self-centeredness can oftentimes be something we struggle with to kind of surpass God in the priorities of our life. And God says, no, I need to be first. And I want to do this so that you might actually have life. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Today, it feels very different. It's going to feel a little different. But we're in this same concept of what's first. Is it God or is it something else? And what I want to look at today is actually something. I want to look at technology. And this feels maybe a little odd. Because it's like technology, really? That's where we're going to kind of focus our attention on? But this is one that, you know, because there's lots of things that we might struggle with, right? We might struggle with something like alcoholism. And there might be half a dozen of us in this room who kind of struggle with this. Okay, and that we maybe have alcoholism or something is first in our life. But technology is one, because we are kind of in a series, we only have so many weeks we can talk about things, and you kind of self-identify some of your own struggles. Technology is one that I feel like captures so many of us. And I'm going to kind of lay the groundwork for that. And the Tower of Babel, I hope, will become kind of known to you as the Tech Tower, okay? The Tech Tower. And that's kind of where we're going this morning. So let me say a prayer, and then I'm going to explain to you why there's a toilet up here. That's a good question. That's a good question. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds to receiving your word right now and all of its truth. Do that work in us, Lord, that only you can do. And God, I just pray for the hearers, for all of us hearing, as our ears hear these words, that you would allow that word to work in our hearts, not only our ears, but that you'd do that hard work of softening our hearts and opening us up to what you really want to be telling us as individuals and as a community. Jesus, I pray for myself right now. I pray that you would actually help me to get out of the way, that you, Jesus, would kind of shine through this message, and that we would hear from you right now. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Technology is literally everywhere. It's just kind of crept into every aspect of our life. And the only reason there's a toilet up here, one, a toilet is a pretty technologically significant thing, right? I mean, this baby is helpful for us, folks. Okay? And I'm telling you, it's kind of a fascinating Wikipedia read. Okay? So jump on Wikipedia, read up on toilets, and it's going to kind of blow your mind. But not only are toilets a technological kind of advancement in society, at least like our modern toilet, right? But I wanted to tell you a story, and I want you to have a toilet up here that then you make a connection with this message, and then maybe later when you're sitting on the toilet, you remember my message. And that's it. I mean, that's really as far as that kind of goes. So, but let me tell you this story. This story kind of involves a toilet. So back in college, me and two other guys were rooming together, and we were sharing a house. We were in the same house together, and one of my friends actually took a TV and brought it into the bathroom, okay, and put this thing in front of the toilet. And then he hooked up a Nintendo 64 to this thing, okay? And so, literally, in college, we had, we literally had, a Nintendo 64 hooked up by the toilet. That's incredible. But technology had literally made its way into the bathroom. Now, I get a kick that you're all laughing at this stuff, because you know where some of this is going, okay? Technology is everywhere, folks. The chair you're sitting on, right? Cars, the vehicles, the fact that you can go 80 miles an hour. Just think about that. I can go 80 miles in an hour. That's incredible. Well, not legally. That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. We wrap our houses in a blanket with insulation. Modern day insulation is just incredible, right? I mean, Alexa, order me some more, garbage bags or something, right? I mean, technology is just seeped in every aspect of our life. We're surrounded by it like crazy. I looked up the 2017 kind of top 10 most technological advancements. And this is what I found. These are just three the first three. Reversing paralysis. The ability to maybe reverse paralysis in the future. That's incredible. Paying with the face. I don't know what that means, but paying with the face. There's some country, I don't know, Japan or something. They're paying now. You just pay with your face. That's kind of funny to me. Self-driving trucks. Did you guys see that's been happening, I think, out there? Actually driving some trucks around, self-driving truck. And there's tons more, right? The microwave, I mean, just everything. Technology is everywhere. Today, I really want to focus our attention on kind of the screen a little bit. I want to think about the iPhone. I want to talk about the iPad. I want to talk about the TV. Our screen time, especially, is kind of where we're going. Now, are these things bad, right? That's kind of the first place we need to start, because you know that I'm going to go to some of that in a little bit. But is this stuff grounded in God's word at all? And I absolutely think it is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God himself comes on the scene and he says this to Adam and Eve. He says, God blessed Adam and Eve, and then God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over it. The fish of the sea and the birds of the air, right? So God literally gives mankind the earth and says, I want you to have dominion over it. I want you to put it to work on almost your own behalf. I want you to utilize the resources that are in it and part of it. I want you to take it. I want you to rule it. I want you to do something with it. And so when we're able to create something like the iPhone, that's a blessing. That's a good thing. That's us ruling over this thing and saying, yeah, I'm going to make this thing kind of serve me and the greater good, and I'm going to use it for my, I'm going to rule over this thing, okay? I mean, that's kind of, and I absolutely see that grounded in God's word. It's a good thing. These are not just in and of themselves bad things. So, okay, they're good. But you know where I'm going with some of this, right? These things can actually be really dangerous. They can be kind of threatening. And I think, as I've been thinking a little bit about this past week, I think two things that really come to my mind, two threats, two dangers with the amount of screen time we have. And I was going to ask the question, have you texted in how much screen time you guys have been on this morning? I'd be really curious to know. Because I know I've been on mine a ton. I mean, my message notes are, you know, hooked up with my iPad. I've been going through my notes. I've been on screen time a lot. How much screen time do we have? What are the threats? I think two that really stand out to me. The first being we get addicted to this stuff. Many of you in this room are addicted to screens. You understand that? That if I were to say, okay, no screen time. I don't want you to look at a screen for the next day. I mean, like, you know, your stomach turns. You get nervous. You're not going to look at a TV for the next 2 days. And we just get like, really? And we could all do for some kind of Sabbath rest from screens, quite honestly. But I'm getting to some of that later. But this is a threat that we've actually become addicted to technology. The second thing that comes out in my mind is thoughtlessness. The actually numbing of the mind. Now, there's research out here on this kind of stuff, and you could just go kind of look at it up and stuff. But we actually, the more that we kind of advance with technology, it sometimes seems like we think less. And it is amazing to me as I'm using my GPS how many times I've missed roads. Anybody? I mean, anybody really? Okay, 1, 2, 3. 3 people and 4. So 4 of us miss roads as we're listening to something that's telling us exactly what to do. We just start to think less. And some of these things, actually, I think, you know, as we lean on the screen, it begins to kind of drive us to even some deeper issues and deeper problems. I just want to throw up a couple kind of statistics that I've been just kind of looking at. 30% right now of high schoolers are saying that they're sexting. Not texting, okay? Not texting. Somebody's like, there's a lot more than 30%. They're all texting. No. Sexting. Okay? Just hit your neighbor. Sexting, not texting. Okay? 30%. It's incredible. Pornography has become an absolute epidemic in our society. Absolute epidemic. I don't know what other word you'd use for it. And here's the deal. You got to go look at your own kind of research and stuff. I'm just kind of looking around. I don't know if I'm looking at the greatest numbers necessarily. There's so much research out there on this stuff. But I saw a number of 46% of males are saying from, I think it was 18 to like age 40-something or whatever, are saying that they're viewing weekly pornographic websites. That's insane to me as I look out at our church. I'm like, 46% and 18% of women. Pornography is an absolute epidemic. And it's associated with this screen time. Habit, here's a real struggle for me. Habit or addiction of this begins to pull us away from things that are more important. It is amazing to me how much I'll be like studying for my sermon or something. And all of a sudden I'm looking around for some YouTube video for something, you know, and all of a sudden I'm looking at shark attacks, you know. Have you ever done that? You ever been looking for a sermon, you're trying to put a sermon together, and all of a sudden you're watching shark attacks? And then all of a sudden, out of shark attacks, you're looking at how to put together, so you know, your refrigerator door. I mean, and it's just, how did I do that? How did that move happen? Well, it begins to pull you away, actually, from the things that are most important in your life. That's real. There's dangerous stuff going on here with this. It actually begins to, the ability to access false information is just incredible to me. The ability to access information that basically is just falls in your camp, so you're never challenged by anything. That's, I think, a real problem. We've become way less relational. This is just incredibly difficult. As we connect more and more and more and more, we are becoming disconnected more and more and more and more. And then my bigger concern even yet is I feel like, and I was trying to think of how to say this, but I feel like our culture is using technology right now, and not, I don't know if I'm like all in behind this thought, but I generally speaking, technology is becoming like this rallying cry for our culture in fixing our biggest problems. Okay, couple approval thoughts. Yeah, like, yeah, amen to that. You can say amen. Drop an amen once in a while. Boom. I like the amen thought. That technology, if we just kind of keep advancing with technological advancements, that maybe we can overcome some of our greatest problems. And it's interesting because it's like, well, man, paralysis sounds like a huge problem. That's a big problem. And so maybe they could do paralysis? Wow. That'd be incredible. So the question quickly becomes, what's our biggest problem? What are our greatest problems, right? As I was reading through this text, I was just fascinated with this. Listen to our text again. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Bricks, bitumen. Bitumen being like tar, maybe even like oil, like the oil kind of over there, okay? That this would have been like technology. We're not going to use just stones and mud anymore. We're going to actually bake some bricks, and we can literally, because of the resources around us, we could literally do anything. This is kind of how I feel about 2x4s and screws. You give me enough of them, I can build anything. That's kind of how I think. And they start leaning into this more and more and more, and all of a sudden it's this technology that they're like, we can actually make a name for ourselves. And this problem that we have with this God who's off in the distance, maybe we could even reach him. Because as you kind of look up in the sky, it's like, yeah, maybe you could build a tower big enough to get up there. And so they start to use technology as this rallying cry to meet some of their biggest needs. It's not that brick and stuff like that's bad. That's not bad at all. But they began to be servant to it. Now listen to this. If last week we were talking about self becoming God, this week, and we just don't have time to go there, but it would be community becoming God. Okay, maybe I can't do this on my own, but maybe together we can go solve our greatest problems. And how is that turning out? How's that turning out for us? As we continue to advance and advance and advance with good things. Not bad things, good things. But as we begin to almost serve these things, what happens? Marriages begin to get affected by some of this stuff. Your relationship with your children is being affected by how much screen time you have. How much time you're spending just watching TV, watching TV, watching TV. Watching 4 hours of TV is not necessarily bad. Watching 4 hours of TV in such a way that you're addicted, you get thoughtless, and you're not even able to identify problems of what's going on and how it's affecting relationships, that's bad. Friendships are on the fringe with some of this stuff because of this. Relationships are being affected. Because of how much screen time we're doing. Laziness. We actually begin to get busy with busyness. We actually start to get busy with busyness. Now, I know some of you are really just busy, but some of you are busy with busyness. You're just watching TV more. You're just on your phone more. Me too, guys. I'm right there with you. This is why I'm teaching on this, because I was like, this is a message. I'll be honest with you. This is a message. Usually I'm a week ahead of you on thinking about the message. This week, I need 2 weeks of this. And so this next week, I'm going to be right there with you, kind of absorbing this message. There's this book I read a while back. It's called Crazy Busy by a guy named Kevin DeYoung. And I remembered this book when I was thinking about just screen time and God calling us to screen the screen, right? And as I was thinking about that, I remembered a chapter he had in here where he just gave some good points. And I just wanted to share these thoughts with you regarding, because he talks about how the screen is strangling our soul, okay? And he's got 4 points in here that I thought were really helpful, so I just wanted to share with you. The first point that he had is just to be positive in thinking about some of this, and to kind of move away from the addictions. He says, cultivate a healthy suspicion toward technology and progress, in quotes. We must understand that every technology, from an IQ test to an automobile to a television set to a computer, is a product of a particular economic and political context and carries with it a program, an agenda, or a philosophy that may or may not be life-enhancing, and that therefore requires scrutiny, criticism, and control. To me, it's just like we need to think about some of this a little bit. We need to just stop and actually process what's actually taking place. I mean, this is what you're looking up. It's funny to me. We're looking at screens as we're doing this. There's pros and cons to that. And I recognize that. Pros are we're able to get some stuff up there, help with some image-driven stuff. We're able to, maybe somebody, if I open the Bible and I'm like, turn to Genesis 1. Some of you don't know where Genesis 1 is. Okay, well, here we got it, right here for you. There's lots of positives. Are there some negatives that can be associated with it? Absolutely. Do we need to stop and actually think about what those things are, what they're doing for us as a culture, especially as we raise our kids in this? And is this what it's about? Is the technology what it's about? Of course not. But we got to think about it, and we got to teach it this way. Second thing, check this out. We need to be more thoughtful and understanding in our connectedness with others. We need to just give thought to relationships that we have with other people. And are we taking these relationships seriously? A friend of mine worked with his wife at a church, actually. And they said they realized how bad of a problem it had become when the husband canceled lunch with his wife via email and their offices were right next to each other. That's an issue. That's an issue, folks. That's an issue that affects our marriages, that affects our kids, that affects our friendships, that affects relationships. Check this out. This is the third one. This one's fascinating with me. This one actually has always stuck with me ever since I read this book. The other ones I've always forgot. This one I've always kind of just kept in the back of my mind. He says, deliberately use old, in quotes, technology. Deliberately use old technology. Now, I don't know what this means for you, because I don't know. I mean, it's not like you have to or something like that. No, of course not. But he's just saying to keep your mind and your posture towards technology with one where you're thinking about it. Maybe don't go grab the iPhone 11 when it comes out. Maybe stick with the 10 for a while. Okay? Maybe don't get one of the TVs that wrap around you. Maybe just stick with the flat ones, that old stuff, you know? I don't know. Flip phone for Christmas. Mr. Dennis, the most sainted one among us. I don't know what that does to you. That's just interesting to me. Last one here is make boundaries and fight with all your might to protect them. You have to have boundaries. We have to have boundaries around some of this stuff. And you have to fight for it. And I hope some of you are taking this to heart, because some of you are on your screen so much and it is absolutely devastating your life. You don't even know it. And it's absolutely devastating your life. You've made technology. You've made the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. You know how I know it? Because when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do, phone. The last thing you do before you go to bed, phone. Maybe not even ever turn it off. Does your phone ever turn off? For some of you, it's no. No, never turns off. That's a bunch of you. That's not just, there's a bunch of you in here. Wakes you up. I don't know what this is doing to you, because I think it's going to do some different things to different people, but I want us to give some serious thought to this, because I think it's that big of a problem. And what does God do? God comes down, he says, we got to go down there. If we let this continue, it's going to get out of hand, and nothing's going to stop them from just continuing the snowball effect. That's essentially this last part of the Tower of Babel. Nothing's going to stop them. And so God, by an act of grace, through an act of mercy, comes down and stops it. See, there is no technology that can meet our greatest needs. Our greatest need. There's no technology that can save from sin. Nothing can save us from sin. This except what? Jesus, who came and died on a cross. Nothing can save us. No technology can meet and defeat death itself. They're trying. Okay? Jesus, in the resurrection, he defeats death. Nothing can save us. Nothing. No technology can meet and defeat the spiritual forces of evil. Jesus does. Jesus did for you. This is what we received in communion. Jesus, this is what we receive when we hear his word and we lean into his salvation, what he tells us. This is what we receive. We receive him into our lives so that our greatest needs can be met. You want to know how to get from here back home? Fine, pull out your phone. But be careful with it. And recognize, you know, I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. You may be, it's not maybe a sin to be sitting in front of your TV for 4 hours. But some of it is not helpful. It's not maybe building up as your kids are just kind of watching too, and you're not connecting with them, or our greatest needs can only be met by Jesus. And for some of us, simply the screen has strangled our soul. Taking a quote from Kevin. It's strangling us. And we think we're advancing. Yeah, but look, 100 years ago, they didn't have anything. Look at what we got now. Yeah, look at what we got now. And take an honest assessment of what's going on. Not as all bad, all good stuff. But we begin to serve it in a way that we shouldn't. And it begins to hurt us. Like another God. One guy's been listening. Let's pray. Lord, we are sorry for where we have screwed up with this, God. We recognize fully that we recognize, God, that we have been on our screens way too much. We're not enjoying. We're not exploring. We're not being relational. Many of us, God, are busying ourselves with busyness. God, I just pray that you'd work your spirit in our hearts and in our lives right now in such a way that we could be honest about that. I know it's a hard message for me, God. Teach us what this looks like. Help us to form boundaries. Help us to be thoughtful. Help us to cut the addiction and keep it what it's supposed to be. A tool. A useful tool. Helpful things. But just a tool. God, help us to always keep you first. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Coming to save us, to help meet our greatest needs, to save us from sin, death, and the power of Satan himself. Thank you so much for that, Jesus. We just keep leaning on you. Help us to stop leaning on the screen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Have a great week, guys. Lord bless you.